Patricia Resnick. Presented by Penobscot Theatre Company at the historic Bangor Opera House, June 23rd through July 31st. Call 207-942-3333 or visit penobscottheatre.org.
Very atmospheric here. There we go. Back on downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us on the telephone. Hello, Eric.
Hey there. See, this is why when I hit Germany in my wine tour, I usually pick, like, you know, Rammstein or something. It's a little more direct.
Right, right. It might take me a while to know this is the immortal Electric Germany.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it was electric. I thought it was Germany Electric. It doesn't matter. I found it far too early this morning, and I have done far too many things since then to even remember. And now I'm gearing up. I'm trying to figure out what in the world the Chamber of Commerce means by concert casual. And my wife and I are getting dolled up and heading out to the waterfront for this evening's festivities.
Yeah. Concert casual.
Well, what's funny to me, I'll be super honest, and so we're going because, just to deviate as I normally do at this time from why I'm here, we're going because, frankly, we were invited, and I'm very thankful for that. Because apparently it was a mad rush for tickets. But several of our dear friends are being awarded various honors tonight. So we said, well, of course we should go out, because we never go out. Christine and I just don't do things. We're far too, you know, ensconced in the day-to-day nonsense. So we're going to be going out, and then they sent out this thing of concert casual to business casual. Now, I have, a humble brag, played on that stage. Rock and roll. I've pretended to be a rock star in the actual act of trying to be a rock star. And I just wore a t-shirt and jeans, so I'm just like, I feel like that's just not... It's
concert casual right there, isn't it?
That's, to me, that's concert casual. God forbid Jeff Curlin or somebody else pops up like, hey, it's photo time. Here's the owner of Bangor Wine and Cheese and the newly elected president of the Downtown Bangor Partnership looking like a scrub.
I can't imagine anybody would say that if you were in overalls with a piece of hay coming out of your teeth.
So you know what I'm wearing tonight?
I do. I've seen the pictures. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. I gave up overalls about age three. I'll be super honest.
That may have been a good choice.
To anybody who watches the show Letterkenny, I think I made the right choice. All right, folks. By the way, if you don't watch Letterkenny, watch Letterkenny. We're here today to start blathering about a German wine. I love, first of all, this time of year is perfect for German wine. Why? Germany, and this is an overgeneralization, but I'm going to make it anyway, produces wine that is innately fresh and also fruity, even if it's not particularly sweet. They really, really do capture a lot of fruity elements that make spring / summer, I mean, I guess we're on the cusp of that today, really sing. The other cool thing about Germany that I really haven't talked a lot about, but I really need to start, and we're going to talk about a little bit about Austria and maybe a little bit about Switzerland next week, just sort of as an offshoot of this, is that it is almost entirely right now really being dominated by a younger set that is making wines, some of them in the very classical nature, but with an eye towards the future, and some of them with an absolute, disregard for any tradition. But just really quick, just to hit it, because the Germans, being Germans, are highly technical in how they qualify their wines, which is why I think you're starting to see a lot of people just sort of flipping the middle finger to it. It's like, okay, we don't really even need that anymore. And you're going to start to see that more and more. The German wine classification system is absolutely probably the most complex that I can conceive of. It was put into law in 1971. There are essentially 2,600 what they call Einzellagen, which are individual vineyard sites. These are registered individual sites. Now, what's interesting to me about Germany versus places like France that we've talked about, other places that we've talked about, is that they're far more interested in the quality of the land as opposed to what's being grown on it. So they're like, this particular vineyard and this particular plot is really, really cool, and we want you to, it's almost like where France wants you to know where what the grapes are. They'll tell you, oh, this is Saint-Joseph, you should know that it's Syrah. When you look at German wine law, it's almost like they want you to know, oh, this is southwest-facing schist, at this altitude. And then we'll tell you what they're growing on it. But it's not necessarily the prescribed grape. Whereas, you know, say in Burgundy, if it's a white, it needs to be, again, with asterisks, Chardonnay or Pinot Noir if it's a red, you know? So I think that's kind of interesting. And Germany talks about their quality levels, but the quality levels is sort of a misnomer because it's really what they're talking about is ripeness. So ripeness affects the wine's body, right? Because it's talking about the sugar content. And in some of the German wine classifications, you can chapitalize, which is to add sugar. But of course, like everywhere else, the better quality wines, according to the law and just in general, are the ones where you're not adding sugar, of course. If you ever see a wine, basically those are the base level wine that we get here in the States that you'll find for, and cost is a relative thing these days, very much so, but your still lower cost wines from Germany that you would find sort of everywhere that are labeled QBA, which is Qualitätswein bestimme Anbaugebiete.
I knew that.
yeah, I know you did. This is still a regional, like this is better than generic wine, right? But it's regionally specific, but they can still add sugar. They can still chapitalize at this level to make it more palatable. For instance, if the ripeness didn't get up to where they wanted, and they want to make it a little off dry, they can add sugar rather. When you start to get past that into what they call Prädikatswein, that's where you start to see no chapitalization, certainly terroir specific, and more than that, indeed terroir, not only regionally, but sometimes, vineyard specific. And in Germany, by the way, just sort of to kind of help people decode things, you'll very often, see the name of the village where the vineyard is located, sort of, I forget the comedian who talked about how Germans basically make one, like, long, long, long word out of the 30 words that describe what it is. But basically, their descriptions of the vineyards will be essentially the vineyard behind the village of this, or the vineyard clustered around this chapel, or something like that. And that will all be contained in the name of it. The other thing that kind of confuses people is they always assume that all German wine is sweet. No, it is not sweet. In fact, there's very much a trend, again, especially among the younger set, of drinking dry. If you want to sort of gauge where that wine is going to be, especially if it's a Riesling or some of the other Riesling cousins that tend to be vinified with a little off dryness sometimes, look at the alcohol content. If the alcohol content is somewhere around 9%, 8%, it probably has what we call RS, residual sugar, which will be a sweeter wine for you. If it looks like it's a normal alcohol percentage along the lines of any Sauvignon Blanc or Chenin or other wine that you'd have, 12.5, et cetera, 13%, it's probably going to be a dry wine. That's just sort of a good rule of thumb in general. But just for you folks out there who are looking for something dry versus something sweet. Rich, how am I doing on time, sir?
You have about a minute left.
Okay. The other thing that, just to get into, Germany, the better wines are from very, very dangerous places to farm. Very, very steep slopes. Some of their wines are extraordinarily difficult to obtain. Of course, that's where the Eiswein comes from. Eiswein from Germany is, surprise, adhering to strict standards of, you know, has to go through a frost and be harvested at such and such a date. And it's very hard to really get some of the finer wines from Germany, but I encourage everybody to explore the wines of Germany because they are becoming more accessible and absolutely phenomenal. And we have some great ones in the store right now. So, yeah, that being said, anyone going to the Chamber dinner, I'll see you there in probably about a half an hour to 45. And I'll see or talk to you all here next week.
And Eric will be looking sharp no matter what he's wearing tonight.
I'll figure it out.
I have no doubt. Have a good time tonight. We'll catch you next Tuesday.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
You got it. It's Eric Mann of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown.